I do want to express my great appreciation for my family and I to be here, to be with you. I wish I could go on and on about the connection that I have, various connections with you that go back for many, many years, but I really want to get into my lesson and don't want to take away from that. Suffice it to say, I'm so happy to be able to be in the area, to be able to get to know you, to be able to get to know Jeremiah better. I'm very thankful for the work that he does here at Willow Avenue. And Lord willing, I plan tomorrow night to be able to go and to be able to support Brother DeLoach in the meeting that he's holding at Baxter. And he sent me a very kind note to let me know he would not be here this evening for that very reason. We go back many, many years. But like I said, I don't want to go too much into that. I do want to get into my lesson this evening. But thank you to Jeremiah and the elders for the invitation to be on this summer series. Tonight is the last night, from what I hear, of your series on Family Matters, and the topic this evening is struggles from the sandwich generation. Struggles from the sandwich generation. Now certainly, by virtue of that, we want to go ahead and offer the definition, even of which Jeremiah has even indicated. Properly speaking, a sandwich generation is a generation of people who are both caring for their aging parents on one hand, and at the same time caring for children who may be adults, or also more recent years applied even to those grandparents who are caring for their parents and rearing their grandchildren. All at the same time, you can see the concept of them being sandwiched together. According to the Pew Research Center, one out of every eight American adults falls into this sandwich generation. The very terminology actually goes back as far as 1981, where it was first coined, and has been evolving over the years. It started about to apply to those who are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, but it's actually now seems to be dipping down even and applying to those who are in their late 30s and even reaching into their 70s. There are a couple of reasons why we see this taking place, why this has developed within recent decades. One factor is that we are, as a people, living longer. If you were to look at the rates of life expectancy that have changed over the last century, we're living much longer than we once did. And so we are aging longer, but also the demographics of the home are changing in recent years, where now young people aren't rushing into marriage in their young 20s. They are now waiting even into their 30s to be able to marry. And so you have now children who are staying at home longer. You have children who are graduating college but yet still finding their way through life, and they end up moving back home after college. Or add to that, even as we indicated, the fact that you have adults who are caring for their aging parents who have progressed in life wonderfully with years, but they're also now even dipping down and having, for various scenarios, having to rear their grandchildren. As you can see on the screen, I remember as a child watching the Waltons, and when I think about the type of family that would comprise this, certainly that's the kind of family that I think of. Those where you have the grandparents and the children and everyone there, and they're responsible financially and they're responsible physically and they're responsible emotionally for three generations. Parents, self, and children. Now, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the sandwich generation. Biblically speaking, I believe the concept was firmly in place when we at least see the example up on the screen. You may recall that families were very clannish, even in biblical times. I remember doing a study in just recent years on Jacob and did a chronology of his life and learned that certainly Abraham was alive the first 15 years of his life before Abraham, his grandfather, passed away. So now you have Abraham the aged, you have Isaac, and you have Jacob and his brother Esau. No doubt they were all together. Isaac would be in this very scenario of which we're talking. And I even, in Genesis chapters 10 and 11, you can do the chronology that's listed there. And of young Abraham, it's interesting to note that even his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Noah was alive when he was born. So these families certainly could fall in this realm as well. Due to a struggling economy, research has shown that these factors that are listed on the screen and the age of where we're living longer certainly have contributed to this. Kim Parker, who is director for the Social Trends Research for the Pew Research Center, published an article in 2012, said that 29% of all young adults ranging from 25 to 34 are now living with their parents. And that demographic is slowly becoming more acceptable. Add to that the fact that now of all the parents who are trying to care for their aged parents, between 8 and 10 million Americans are doing so with their family living long distance. Now that compounds the problem we're talking about tonight. If you're responsible for the care of your parents, but your parents live long away, far away, that has an impact on the dynamic we are talking about this evening. So in my assigned lesson tonight, I want to first note the struggles of the sandwich generation, and then we're going to close with some solutions we might offer for these said struggles that might be of great help and benefit to those who are in this situation. Number one, let's note the struggles of the sandwich generation. The first struggle is certainly finances. That seems to be one of the primary struggles. You are not only trying to rear your family, your immediate family, but now you are financially responsible for the care of your parents, and maybe you are also likely financially responsible for the rearing of your adult children or grandchildren. And now that may be quite taxing on your finances. According to one article dating back to 2006, adults in this sandwich generation spend an extra $10,000 a year that drains on your finances for the care of both generations. On average, 48% of adults are providing some sort of financial support to their grown children. 27% are the primary financial head support. Add to that statistic, 25% are also financially supporting their parents as well. This is a huge burden on many families. And not to steer this away from the family discussion, but certainly you understand that in today's climate, the number of millions of Americans who are struggling with debt, who are getting themselves caught up in credit card difficulties and taking out of loans and all bankruptcy,
all of that is a very real struggle, even in this sandwich generation. Number two, I want us to consider struggle with time. Struggles with time. Now you find yourself stretched extremely thin. You're having to not only take care of yourself and your spouse, you're having to take care and share your time with the rearing of children or grandchildren. You're having to spend that vast amount of time caring for your aged parents. And so that it drains your time. I am close to this particular scenario, not quite in it yet. Statistically, as far as my age, being 47, almost 48, I definitely fall in this category. But I'm not necessarily supporting my parents or my in-laws, and my children are still on a hair young side yet. But I understand and I identify and I can sympathize with those who are. As a preacher and a preacher's child, being reared as the son of a preacher, I have seen many of our fellow brethren leave good works to have to move themselves to be close to their parents because they're aging. And that requires a lot of time on their part. We did, Melissa and I, my wife, our family, did leave Louisiana just late last year to move to Middle Tennessee. We wanted to do, as the great philosopher Barney Fife has said, nip it in the bud, we wanted to move near her family, living over in Lebanon, Wilson County, not far from here, so that should the day come we do need to take care of them, we will be here and available and ready. Melissa's parents, my in-laws, are currently taking care of her grandparents. And every Tuesday and Thursday night, at a certain time, they are having to go to the house of her grandparents, are having to be there, care for them physically, and it takes time. The days turn into weeks. The weeks turn into months. The months may very well turn into years. And it drains time, stretching yourself thin. It gets in the way of things that you would do otherwise. You find little time to relax. You are losing sleep, because maybe you're having to wake up even earlier for said responsibilities. Time is a struggle. Number three, there are struggles with priorities. Struggles with priorities. Certainly with all the stress of the increased responsibilities on both sides, now you have to juggle. What do I do? Which comes first? Do I take care of A, do I take care of B? And normally, always, you put yourself last because you are unselfish. And that's not always the proper priority. And so there are struggles with priorities. The focus of caring for others. The lack of focus on self. And even such things as putting your own health on the back burner, or putting even your career on hold. And now you'll lose priorities. Number four, there's struggle with perseverance. Struggle with perseverance. Being a caregiver, day in and day out, wears on you. And now you are tempted to give in, to throw in the towel. I'm not sure I can hang on. The stress adds. The pressure builds. The problems mount. And you find yourself frustrated. You find yourself now questioning how much longer you can last. It's a very, very real scenario when you are responsible for the bathing of your parents. It's a very real scenario when you are responsible for even such mundane things as cleaning their toilets. And all of this happens every single day for individuals who are caregivers. And this may cause wear and tear that leads to stress, which ultimately can lead to burnout. Struggles with perseverance. Next, there are struggles with psychological and mental health challenges. Because of this, individuals in the sandwich generation are at risk. They're at risk because of stress that leads to such things as anxiety, that leads to such challenges as depression. Certainly the psychological toll, even of caring and giving of yourself, and all of the issues that relate to that may even creep back. Am I doing enough? What can I do more? What do I need to do more? And if you're not careful, you may find yourself wrestling with problems even of guilt. Very often, individuals in this sandwich generation may at one time or another begin to challenge themselves with their own guilty feelings. I'm not doing enough. I'm not working hard enough. And they overwork themselves so that not only are they physically drained, they're emotionally drained, and they're psychologically drained. Should the parents be experiencing difficulties with Alzheimer's and or dementia, now you have just exponentially compounded the problem we are setting forth this evening. As we deal with family matters, we certainly want to identify these struggles of the sandwich generation. Now, this was not exhaustive, but certainly at the top of the list. With the time remaining, let's now notice solutions that we may give, solutions even that we find from God's very own Word, that we may be able to offer relief and offer some aid in coping and dealing with said struggles. Number one. Certainly, we need to become good financial stewards. We must give attention to being a good steward, financially speaking. As we have indicated, one of the number one difficulties and struggles is financial struggles. It is all the more necessary for you and for me to be sure that even as the Bible says multiple times in multiple places, you are to be a good steward. You remember that Jesus, even in the parable of the talents, the Lord scolded that one talent man because he, rather than burying his talent, the Lord had left him responsible. He said, you could have at least went and gained interest upon it. You were not a good steward. And it impresses upon us that we ought to be good stewards. We ought to be good savers. We ought to spend wisely. We ought to be thrifty. We need to learn in such situations even how to cut some corners and make good financial decisions so that we don't find ourselves deep, head over in debt that compounds the stress and the problems. We've got young people here. I want to speak to you for just one moment. Again, this is a sermon on the family,
but as we deal with the impact that money has on the family. Please, please, please understand young couples, young families, those who even have yet not married, but will in the future, Lord willing. Please listen to me. It's the little things that matter. It's the little things. Don't make these big financial mistakes early in your marriage that may come back to haunt you when you find yourself years later now in the sandwich generation. Be a good financial steward. Number two, become a learner. Become a student. Become a disciple. That's what the word disciple means, religiously speaking, spiritually speaking. We are always to continue to grow in knowledge, right? Grow in knowledge, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Or even as Paul encouraged his young protege Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, till I come, make sure you give attention to reading and to doctrine or teaching as well as exhortation. We ought to be always learning and growing in knowledge. Now, you may find yourself in this type of situation. You may be in this sandwich generation. I would encourage you to educate yourself in such scenarios. Study up on this unique challenge and gain the resources necessary to be able to ease your burden. Find out if you support adult children living outside your home, whether or not they should move in with you to ease the financial burden rather than living out on their own, but you supporting them in that manner. Or whether your aged parents should do the same for the very same reason. Educate yourself on such things as medical alert systems. Educate yourself on such things as identity theft, which very, very often in our day, church, is happening more and more and more among our aged parents who are being deceived and are preys to those who are evil. Educate yourself on tax benefits, medical expense claims, and such like. Educate yourself on things like powers of attorney and living wills and living trusts and joint bank accounts. Educate yourself. As Christians, we are to grow in knowledge, and when we want to deal and cope with these struggles, educate yourself. Number three, please focus on good time management skills. Focus on being good time managers, and that will help you with your priorities. Certainly, Paul encourages good time management when he made the principle in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 16 that we are to redeem the time. And certainly he talked about the need for good priorities in Matthew 6 and verse 33 to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It is imperative. If you are struggling in the sandwich generation, it is imperative that you learn good time management skills to make the most of your time. Yes, you are going to have responsibilities and obligations when you come home from work. You're going to have responsibilities and obligations that the average person might not have. You're going to find yourself stretched thin. Make use of good time management skills. This is something that would serve well, not just if you are in the sandwich generation, but all of us ought to be good practicers of time management. It will help us throughout our day. You are one person, and there is only 24 hours in a day. And those two numbers, brothers and sisters in Christ, never change. You're one person with only 24 hours. Make lists. Prioritize. Cut out the unnecessary things in life. Minimize your workload. Practice good time management. Number four, take time for yourself and for your spouse. Please take time for yourself. The natural reaction of any selfless Christian is to always put others above yourself, and rightfully so. The problem, though, comes, church, when we're constantly giving of self, and there is no attention given to us, and might I add, our spouse, then we find ourselves dealing with other struggles that we have brought upon ourselves by a lack of attention to self. Yes, your parents, your children, your family need you. Yes, you want to give them your attention, but you must make time for self. Did our Lord not do the very same thing? When He was here on earth, did He not selflessly give and give and give and give of Himself to the crowd and to all of those who approached Him with need? Absolutely. But did He not find time to be able to take care of the relationship that He had with God? Did He not find time to leave the masses and take care of Himself and to take care of those who were closest to Him, His apostles? The answer is yes, He did. He did not neglect His prayer life. He did not neglect the time that He spent with His apostles, which in this situation would be analogous to a husband and a wife. Take time for yourself. If you're that early morning riser, as I am, then make sure you find some time early in the morning when it's just you and it's just you and God, or it's just you and your spouse, and make that time special and make that time important. Or maybe you're the night owl. Maybe you stay up late at night. That's not me, but that's okay, right? Maybe that's you, and you're the one that after everyone else goes and drifts off to sleep, now you find yourself with your alone time. Great. Make sure you take advantage of that time to make time for yourself. Make time with your daily devotion with God. But not only that. Husbands, make sure you are taking care of your wives. You see, the wives in this sandwich generation comprise most often the majority of the caregiving duties that are both emotional and physical. Husbands very often contribute by financially. But the statistic is between 59 and 75% of all caregivers in the sandwich generation, it falls to the wives to do so, many of whom give up their jobs, go back to the home, and provide that necessary care. And if that is the case, then husbands, make sure you do exactly what Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 25, you love your wife. You spend time with her. You make sure that she is not overburdening herself with all the extra duties that she has. You're cognizant of her and her own levels of stress and anxiety and burdens that she's facing, so that you are caring for her as a loving, godly husband, or vice versa with wives to husbands, if that is the case. Certainly, make some time. Make some time to take care of yourself physically. don't allow yourself physically to drain by virtue of you spending all this time as a caregiver, all this time meeting the needs of your family and neglecting yourself. Find that little bit of time to exercise. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, bodily exercise does indeed profit a little, in the context of which, when compared with spiritual growth, yes, is diminished. But Paul's not establishing the fact that it's of no value whatsoever. It actually is of value and is of greater value when you find yourself in this scenario of constantly giving yourself. You do not want to neglect yourself physically, because then you end up creating a harsh catch-22. When you lose your capacity to go on because you've drained yourself, you lose the ability to be in the role that you need to be, much less desire to be, and that is the caregiver. Number five, it goes without saying to pray. I take us to the text that was read earlier. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, we're dealing with problems and struggles of a family matter that really create anxiety and stress. And if there is any biblical exhortation to us that will help us cope with anxiety and stress, it's found right here in this passage by Paul. You make sure that you are keeping your prayer life alive. You make sure that when you find yourself struggling, that you realize you are not struggling alone, that you have a heavenly Father who cares for you. You have an elder brother, 1 Peter 5, 7, who cares for you, that you are unloading your burdens in prayer unto God. That is the answer to the stress that very often comes. Next, I might add, count your blessings. Count your blessings. You see, there in the aforementioned text, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it is the Apostle Paul that says, with that is to come thanksgiving. You're sharing your burdens, but it still is conjoined with thanksgiving. You may find yourself unloading about the chore that your children are, but then stop and ask, what about the parent who just buried his or her child? You may be wearing under the load of having to care for your aged parents, but stop and ask yourself, you still have them with you. It could be worse. There are blessings that are still there to be counted. Count your blessings and be thankful for what you do have. Next, good advice for all of us, no matter what scenario we may find in life, live one day at a time. Live just one day at a time. One of the things that very often even the average member of the church may find themselves struggling with, all the stresses of just average life, is what we want to do is we want to reach back and pull in all the problems of yesterday. We want to add them to all the struggles of today, but then we want to also pull in all of the expectations of difficulties and anxieties for tomorrow. And we find ourselves, may I, sandwiched in these problems of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. that emulate the very generation we're talking about tonight. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God did not create us to be able to handle all that. We were not made, physically speaking, to be able to live long in that scenario. No wonder in one of the great treatises on anxiety, Matthew chapter 6, and there at the conclusion of that portion of his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus would say in verse number 34, to take no thought about tomorrow. The tomorrow's going to take care of itself. Sufficient unto the day is its own evil. In other words, leave behind the problems of yesterday and don't even try to go into the expected problems of tomorrow. Very likely, they will not happen anyways. And just live one day at a time. Now, you may find yourself struggling. And you may find yourself wearied and burdened and dealing with all kinds of stress in such matters. Live one day at a time. It will revive your fortitude. It will renew your patience. And it will formulate within you the ability to tackle one problem at a time today. I'm just going to deal with this problem today. And you deal with that. And little by little, your situation may very well be eased up and may be solved. Next, do not be afraid to ask for help. When you find yourself in the role of a caregiver, when you find yourself in this sandwich generation, do not be afraid to ask for help. Many caregivers find themselves in situations where they're trying to do this all by themselves. They're actually ashamed to ask for help because the aforementioned feelings of guilt may come in. If I ask for help, then that comes back on me that I'm not very good. I'm not a good son or daughter. I'm not a responsible person myself. And that is the devil talking to you. You must ask for help and be relieved at times. Do not be afraid. It's why Paul says in Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Brothers and sisters, it's the law of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not that we go through life tackling these problems and scenarios on our own, but that we're sharing the load. That we're bearing one another's burdens and difficulties. And so, it may be that we need to ask for help. It may be that if we know those who are in this scenario, we go and offer help. Let me sit with said aging parent this afternoon and give you 4 hours to yourself. Let me take care of this for you tonight so that you and your husband or you and your wife may go off and have a nice dinner and a movie to yourselves. Offer that respite. Seek that respite. And it may even be necessary that you need to ask for some type of professional help to ease the burdens you're facing. An accountant, a social worker, maybe some government agency that is there to help if only you'll lay aside your pride and ask. And then finally, work on your communication. Be sure you communicate well. Very often, aging parents go through all of themselves the feelings of uselessness, and they're crying out for someone to listen. And maybe the older adult children may in a similar way be realizing that they're in their mid-20s and they still have yet to figure out what to do, but they need that listening ear. And problems that may arise can be easily solved, as every good relationship is solved, with good communication skills. Ephesians 4:29, Paul encourages us to be sure that we communicate effectively without any corrupt communication, but that our communication is seasoned with grace. Discuss ways of coping. Talk about difficulties and work on solutions through communication. I hope this evening that this lesson has been beneficial, especially if there are those in the assembly who may find themselves in such situations. It may be such that you are not in the sandwich generation. Maybe this lesson really had no application for you in that manner. But maybe you know of those who are. Maybe now you've been informed of the struggles that they have. Maybe you can go to them and ask, "How are you doing? What can I do to help?" Or just be that listening ear to let them unload the stress and the strains of their difficult daily life. Maybe you find yourself struggling in your own family. I'm so very grateful that we have a loving God, a loving God who has described the church as a spiritual family that certainly has a Father in heaven who loves us and meets our daily needs. And so, I can only pray that the information that I have provided this evening has been of the same benefit as the previous lessons before me in this series. But I do want to close, as we're about to sing this song of invitation, that if you are not a part of the family of God, there's no greater night for you to do that than tonight. Certainly, if you want to be a child of God, you have heard resounding from this pulpit the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that you can be a child of God by being born again, John 3:3-5, and that you may be born again through the obedience of the truth, 1 Peter 1:20-22. Maybe it's the case that you know your faith in Jesus is to lead to, for you to put a past your old life of sin, to commit yourself to living a life as a disciple of Jesus, that you want to turn your back on sin, confess your faith with your mouth, and you want to be immersed in water where you may respond to the blood of Jesus Christ that will wash away your sins, and that you'll be added to the family of God, the family here at Willow Avenue, as well as the greater family of God, the universal church of Jesus Christ. If we can help you become a member of God's family, come now, as together we stand, as we sing.